Right now, it's time for Armed American Radio's Daily Defense with Mark Walters.
It is, and I wouldn't rather be anywhere else. I want to start with this. First, let me bring my sidekick down in Dallas, Tejas.
Why do we make grills?
Oh, why do we make grills? Oh, that's, I'll go there later.
Now you're talking my language.
Yeah, you know, I had some stuff queued up. I was thinking about doing a Grilling While Armed segment today, but I'm not. So I apologize. I queued that up by accident. Sean, I was going to say, did you listen to the program? Did you listen to the program? You produced the program last night. Of course you listened to the program. That was a huge monster broadcast yesterday for a number of different reasons. Did you enjoy the program yesterday?
Yes, I did. As long as my finger wasn't tingling, yes, I did.
Well, that's because your finger hurts. I'll just let listeners who don't know that you're getting over that weird thing with your finger that had you hospitalized for about a week. But, and I know that's getting better, so yay for you, believe me, because I've seen the photos. In fact, I shook your hand before you went to the hospital, so I saw what it was doing before it took you there. Anyway, you know, we had Rock River Arms on the record last night. Sarah, now she had been on the air, she jumped on the airwaves with my good friend Bill Frady, you know, a couple days earlier. And I love Bill to death. He's such a great guy. And I spent a lot of time with him over at the NRA convention. He was kind enough to stop by the Second Amendment Foundation booth where I was standing for a while, for most of the time, because the USCCA booth got kicked out. So I had nowhere to go as far as a home was concerned. So I bopped between Crossbreed and Second Amendment Foundation. I had a long conversation with Bill, and he had hooked me up with a third party that was interested in bringing Rock River Arms to this monster show. Now, no disrespect to Bill Frady's show, but my monster show is, you know, 10 times his size, 20 times his size. So the reach is huge. And Sarah Larson was kind enough to come on the program. And I want to make something very clear. Sean, I'm going to get your opinion on this. As a professional in broadcasting for many, many years, what's your opinion on this? There is reporting, as you know, Sean, from producing the show about Rock River, from a website who I'm not going to name because I have no ill intent about anybody. I don't even want to go there. I'm neutral. But there's some reporting out there that's not been very friendly to Rock River and to Springfield. And I felt that Springfield Arms was due, Rock River Arms, as is Springfield, due an unchallenged opportunity to talk. Because this is a pro-gun rights program, and two very big gun manufacturers and popular gun manufacturers who are, quote-unquote, a little bit under the gun right now, I felt deserved an unchallenged opportunity. I'm not here to play investigative journalist. I'm here to provide an opportunity for those investigative journalists to listen to what this company had to say. Do you feel that my tactic was right there?
Yeah, because, you know, as much news and analysis, as we like to say in the business, that I see, I think sometimes that the subject or the interviewer or interviewee doesn't have a chance to get their own word out. I mean, I think it was a great interview because it gave a voice to the person to say, hey, this is what really happened, without someone asking set up questions or anything, just like a press conference in a sense.
Okay. No, that's good, because and here's what really happened. Well, really happened from their perspective, and that's the opportunity that I wanted to bring on board, and I wanted the investigators to be able to listen to it because they've had a hard time. No one was getting any callbacks. They weren't on the record, and I was able to provide that on-the-record conversation yesterday, and it was a good one, and I hold Sarah Larson in very high regard, and I appreciate her coming on to do that. I really do, because she had an opportunity for about 7 or 8 minutes. Hopefully, if I have time, I want to play it later in the program for you, because I want you to hear what she had to say. I'll cut out all the gobbledygook at the beginning of the intro and all that and go just to write what she said, because I want her word to get out there. And I'll let, you know, I'm not the investigative journalist here. I'm simply the conduit. Here, come on this program, use this microphone, and put your word out. And I would like to do the same thing for Springfield Armory. We will be reaching out to them in the very near future. We have through a third party, but I don't like third parties. I don't like third parties for lots of things. Wouldn't take a third party check. Don't want a third party bringing me in. I want Springfield to come here of their own volition and jump on this program with me. So we're working on that for you because I want you to hear it. As gun owners, you need to hear it. But it was powerful. And then in addition to that, it was. Wasn't it, Sean? It was
powerful. Like I said, it was a way to clear up the air on things. And like you said, nobody had really any answers. And it was a way for the company to express what was going on and without being hampered in any way with different types of directions on questions. I think it was great.
Well, for clearing the air, that's pretty subjective. We'll let the listener decide whether or not they cleared the air. That's why I wanted to provide the opportunity and do it unchallenged. I didn't want to come in here and say, well, wait a minute, what about this? No. Everybody's read this. See, I'm not a big fan of this internet. I mean, the internet stuff. I love the internet. Don't get me wrong. Misunderstand me. I don't want to go in a different direction. Let me say that social media and the internet can do terrible damage if something is taken out of context. And I'm not saying something is in this case. You know, Rock River does. And that's why I wanted them on the show. But there are too many people out there who, oh, I saw it on the internet, it must be true, and they go right to want to cut somebody's throat. And that's not fair. That's not fair. Now, the website might be right. I don't know. Like I said, I have no dog in the hunt. I'm not worried about that. I simply wanted to bring the story to the airwaves. I'll let you decide what you think based on what you read and based on what you hear. Frankly, I'm of the mindset right now that there's so much fog there, it's going to be very difficult to cut through it. But thegunwriter.com, Lee Williams, tuned in, wrote about it today. I want you to go take a look at what he had to say about it. And yet again, you can make up your own minds. That's why I wanted to bring the story to the forefront and give them an opportunity to talk. So anyway, it's subjective. Because there's so much information out there, and it's, you know, you've got something over here. The company says that's unsubstantiated. Somebody over here says this. Everything's not. It's just, and when people see that on the internet, you know, my suggestion, we see this in, you know, the left is very good at manipulating things and doing this, and it's fake news, this, that, and the other thing. You got to be able to cut through this stuff. Don't sit there and make up your mind about companies whose products you probably have in your safe or have floated through your safe at one point in time or another. Sit and think to yourself, does this really make sense? To me, what I'm hearing about Rock River and Springfield and the IFMA, it just doesn't pass the smell test. It really, truly doesn't pass the smell test to me. But you can decide for yourself whether it passed the smell test for you. Too many people read something and say, oh, man, look at that. Let's boycott them before doing any research whatsoever. And that's unfair to the company who you deserve to hear from. So I really thank Sarah Larson for coming on and putting her position out there. I hope we get something from Springfield in the very near future. If I have some time, I'll play that later. Afterwards, David Kodria came on because we had to mix the schedule up just a little bit. David came on and gave us a segment worth of discussion about his thoughts and feelings on the passing of Bob Owens, the editor at BearingArms.com. Heartfelt stuff from David. And I think I can wrap that up with, he feels the same way we all do. It was tough to talk about. You know, and to hear David say, Mark, I don't even know if I'm saying that right, which is what he said last night, tells you everything you need to know about the impact Bob had, not just on him, but on everybody. When David Kodry is at a loss for words about something, that just shows you the impact that the passing of Bob Owens had on a lot of people within the community. People are shocked and don't know how to react and what to say, and it's sad. It's truly sad. I'll use this opportunity again to say, please go to the GoFundMe. Just Google GoFundMe Bob Owens. GoFundMe Bob Owens. And donate what you can for his family. He meant a lot to all of us. And I've donated. I hope you do too. So I don't mind telling you, I donated $25. So go and do the same thing if you can, or $5 or $1. It really doesn't make any difference. Whatever you can. If you can donate $2,500, go right ahead and do it. I wish I could donate more. But what's important is that you do it and you help the family. We all benefited a lot from Bob's work over the years. Following that really provocative conversation with Alexander Rubian from the Second Amendment Foundation and Rob Pincus. You know Rob, trainer extraordinaire, Personal Defense Network, close friend of mine, close friend of yours, co-author on my second book, Lessons from Unarmed America, foreword by Ted Nugent. Yeah, if you didn't know that, Nugent wrote the foreword to our second book. And it's a good one, too. You know, this is a conversation. Well, let me just tell you what happened briefly. Alexander got himself pulled over in South Carolina. South Carolina state trooper. He was carrying a firearm in his vehicle as he was heading down to Florida. He had a reciprocal permit. He wasn't sure of the law, so he essentially put the firearm somewhere else in the vehicle so it wasn't there. He got pulled over, and he was asked if there were any weapons in the vehicle, and he refused to answer. The police officer found himself in handcuffs. When we come back, I'll give you some more details, and I want you to tell me what you think about it. Mark at armedamericanradio.org after you hear it. Love to read some emails. Armed American Radio's Daily Defense from these Daily Defense studios continues right after this. Don't go away. We'll be right back after these messages.
Folks, by now you know I'm a proud member of the United States Concealed Carry Association. And you also know they love to give away guns to responsibly armed Americans just like you. Now, this is why last month the USCCA bought 10 of my listeners a brand new Kimber. Now, this month, they want you to pick any gun you want. So they're giving you 10 chances to win $1,500 to buy the gun of your dreams. Which gun is at the top of your bucket list? A brand new AR-15? A custom 1911? Think hard, because any gun you've been dreaming about could be yours, thanks to my friends over at the USCCA. Just visit defendthem.com to enter for free today, and there's absolutely no restrictions. You can pick up any gun, any brand, and any caliber you want. Your entry to win $1,500 for a brand new gun is quick, simple, and free. Don't miss out on your best chance to take home the gun of your dreams. Just go to defendthem.com right now to get your name on the entry list. That's defendthem.com.
If you had to use your firearm to protect your loved ones, would you know what to expect in the aftermath? Imagine being thrown into a cop car in front of your family. Could you have said something differently? I've had these fears, and the USCCA has alleviated them with the 6 things you didn't know would happen when the police arrive. A free guide covering 6 big mistakes that could land you behind bars. For this free guide, visit BeTheirProtector.com. That's BeTheirProtector.com.
The Second Amendment Foundation has grown into what many believe to be the most important gun rights organization in America. With hundreds of thousands of active members, it is the Second Amendment Foundation defending your rights in courtrooms across the nation. Winning these battles in local jurisdictions all the way to the Supreme Court requires tireless effort and help from you. Please help the Second Amendment Foundation defend your freedoms by joining or donating today at saf.org. Join us at saf.org. Thank you.
The USCCA Facebook page brings together nearly 2 million like-minded people, all of them interested in effective self-defense and the concealed carry lifestyle. Look for the official USCCA page on Facebook. Find the page, click the like button, and start learning all you can about becoming a responsibly armed American. And remember to share these great tips with all your other Facebook friends. The USCCA on Facebook, a great source for information on personal safety and so much more.
When seconds count, the police are minutes away, which means if your family's in danger, you'll become the first line of defense. Can you say with 100% confidence that you'll know what to do? What about the gun laws in your state? Do you know them? One wrong move, and you'll be the one handcuffed in the back of a squad car. Which is why 170,000 responsibly armed Americans rely on Concealed Carry Magazine for the latest on ever-changing gun laws and life-saving training drills. You'll get unbiased gun and gear reviews and read true stories from real people who carry every day. There's even a quarterly women's section with training and information designed specifically for the female shooter. This is important, which is why when you activate your subscription, you'll be entered to win 1 of 4 guns. Just go to oneoffourguns.com. That's the number 1of4guns.com right now to start your subscription and claim your chance to win the gun of your dreams.
Hi, it's Mark, and I have a plea for help. Gun-hating billionaire Michael Bloomberg is up to his bag of tricks by funding studies designed to fool the American public into thinking your guns cause crime. As expected, The media plays right along. Unfortunately for him, John Lott and the Crime Prevention Research Center does the real research to measure the true impact of guns on crime. But we need your help to do it. Please donate today to help John and the CPRC get the truth out. Visit crimeresearch.org, crimeresearch.org to donate. Crimeresearch.org. Thank you.
Right now, it's time for Armed American Radio's Daily Defense with Mark Walters.
All right, you know who we lost today? I can't let this go by. Powers Booth passed away. Powers Booth. You know who Powers Booth is, right? Red Dawn? But to me, in my stuff genre, Powers Booth played Curly Bill Brocious in the movie Tombstone. He also played Cy in Deadwood. We lost Powers Booth today. Great actor. Great actor. I have no idea what his politics are. Don't care. He was a great actor. He was great in the movie Tombstone. He was great in Deadwood if you watch that series. Of course, I mean, you know, Red Dawn. And by the way, any remake of that movie, that's sacrilegious. You got to watch the original one there. Come on. That's like trying to remake The Godfather. You can't do that. If it doesn't have Patrick Swayze in it, it's not the real deal. So, anyway, that's kind of sad. All right, let me go into, because this is a provocative conversation. And I love both gentlemen who were on the program yesterday, but I really do want to go here a little bit with you. Not for too long, but enough. I told you Alexander Rubian, he's the head of the New Jersey Second Amendment Society, got pulled over for speeding. Now, he admitted to me on the air last night, I'm not telling you anything he didn't say on my radio program last night. He had his cruise control set at 85. He was on Interstate 95 in South Carolina. The speed limit is 70. He had it set for 15 miles an hour over the limit. That's a ticket waiting to happen. So here's my advice to you. And I'm not telling you anything I didn't tell him on the airwaves last night, too. That police officer has every right to pull you over at 15 miles an hour over the speed limit. In fact, the ticket at 15 miles an hour over the speed limit, that is the threshold, goes up significantly from 14 miles an hour over the speed limit. It's a whole different ticket. So if you don't want to get pulled over, don't go 15 miles an hour over the speed limit. You want to be safe? Hang under 10. You're usually going to be safe. But keep in mind that an officer can pull you at 9 miles an hour over the speed limit. So really, the suggestion is go the flow of traffic. And I've been on 95. I've seen 95 traffic go 85 and higher, and I understand that. But having the cruise control said, hey, not preaching to you. But it's kind of like if you don't want to be arrested for bank robbery, don't rob a bank. If you don't want to be arrested for speeding or stopped for speeding, don't speed. Particularly if you have a concern enough because of something you have in the car, even though it's legal to have in the car and you're not familiar with how it's legal to have in the car and you're not sure and you know you might be asked about it even though it's legal, don't invite the attention. So that's my first piece of advice. Now, having said that, you know, if you're not going 85 miles on 95, you're probably going to cause an accident. So I digress a little bit, but I wanted to throw that out there. It's the right thing and responsible thing to say, and we talked about it yesterday. Alexander, when the police officer approached his vehicle, refused to answer his question when the cop came up and asked him about why were you going so fast and do you have any weapons in the vehicle. Alexander refused to answer him. He wound up in handcuffs. Because the cop thought he was suspicious for refusing to answer questions. Now, there's reasons cops think that way. They face a lot of threats out there. And the cop's probably thinking, okay, all right, one of these guys. So my suggestion to you is don't come across as one of these guys. Officer, I didn't realize I was speeding. Can I see proof that I was speeding? Or... Like Andrew Brankus said yesterday, the law of self-defense, every speeding ticket I ever got, I deserved. And I'll be honest with you, I said it last night too, every speeding ticket I ever got, I deserved. With one exception, and I beat that one in court, but I had to go to court to beat it. But for the most part, I deserved every one of the tickets I got. I knew I was speeding. So do you want to be that guy who the cop thinks, okay, I've got one of these guys on my hands? Is this a sovereign citizen? Do I have trouble on my hands? Is that what you want to be? Rob Pincus's comments were, just cooperate. You're not violating any laws. This is a traffic ticket. Cooperate with the officer. I apologize. I didn't realize I was speeding. Ask for a warning, maybe. I've done that before. Do you have any firearms in the vehicle? I've never been asked that on a stop, actually, except one a long time ago, but it was a license check. But I'm not required by law to notify. I have notified, and there have been times that I have not notified the officer that I was carrying a firearm when I was stopped for speeding. The most recent here in the state of Georgia, about 7-8 years ago. Been a while. Carrying on my right hip. Cop never asked. I never told him. Didn't have to. I knew the gun was never going to be exposed. Now, if I was asked to step out of the vehicle for whatever reason, I absolutely would have notified him. Not a requirement in the state of Georgia, but under those conditions, absolutely you do. You don't step out of the vehicle with a firearm without notifying the police officer. That's for your safety and his safety, okay? These things can turn south very, very quickly. Rob Pincus' recommendation yesterday was just cooperate with the cop. You're not violating any law. How are you today, officer? Here's my driver's license. I am carrying a firearm in the vehicle. It is lawful. I have a firearm permit. And by the way, in the state of South Carolina, you don't, as long as it's not on your person, you don't have to have a permit to carry it in the car. You can carry it in the car. It can be in your glove box and it can be loaded. That's true in most states now, by the way, with one exception, or one of a few exceptions. But one of the exceptions is the state that Alexander comes from. You see, my normal advice would be, come on, man. It's a traffic ticket, just like Rob. I'm sorry I was speeding. I didn't realize I was. I'd like to see proof of that. I don't believe I was. Do you have any weapons in the vehicle? Of course I have a weapon. I suggested that last night. Of course I have a weapon in the vehicle. I'm a law-abiding citizen. I have a license to carry permit with a reciprocal state, Florida. I do not have the firearm on me. It is in the glove box. But of course I have a firearm on me as a law-abiding citizen. I never leave my home without it. It's not hard to find out if you're a law-abiding citizen. He probably knew that already before he walked up to your car, quite frankly. So do you want to be the guy that gets out of the car and has to be put in handcuffs for your safety and officer's safety to answer a few questions? Normally, I would say no. But you see, Alexander hails from New Jersey. We're answering that question in New Jersey is a whole different ballgame than answering that question in South Carolina. Now, Alexander got out of it because he wasn't doing anything wrong. In fact, he explained to the police officer why he refused to answer his questions because of where he comes from and the fact that he lives in a tyrannical state and that answering questions like that in his state can get him put in the slammer. He and the cop wound up having a fascinating conversation. Of course, his bracelets were unhooked, and he was let go without getting a ticket. Rob's perspective was, it didn't have to go there at all, period. You never had to get out of the car. You never had to get put in handcuffs. All you had to do was answer his questions. You're not violating the law. And frankly, at South Carolina, everybody's got a gun. Cops know that. It's not illegal. You're not doing anything wrong. In New Jersey, however, it doesn't even matter if it's legal. Ask Brian Aiken, who was given a 7-year felony sentence in prison. He eventually had it commuted by the governor, but had to go through all of that, and still to this day remains a convicted felon, which hopefully one day will be overturned. Fascinating conversation. Go back and listen to it. We brought the social media thread to the radio program. Very civil conversation between like-minded individuals who differ on an opinion. We'll be back.
Imagine you're walking through a parking lot at dusk. You're with your children. As you approach your car, you see a large man closing in. Something seems wrong. Something is wrong. You calmly move in front of your kids and turn towards the attacker. Your mind flashes back to everything you've learned. The man is now 30 feet away. You don't make a move yet, but you can feel the weight of your 9mm on your hip. You hear yourself confidently issue the command, "Stay back!" And then it happens. The attacker understands what only criminals can comprehend. He has picked the wrong target. He quickly turns around. "What's wrong?" says your child as you get in the car. "Nothing. Nothing's wrong, honey. Everything is fine." Get a gun and master its use. The Self-Defense Shield from the USCCA will help you understand gun safety and self-defense. The USCCA Self-Defense Shield gives you education, training, and a tenacious legal defense. It's your path to become a responsibly armed American. Discover how a gun and your family are the perfect fit. Visit freegunguide.com. That's freegunguide.com.
Hi, it's Mark, and I have a plea for help. Gun-hating billionaire Michael Bloomberg is up to his bag of tricks by funding studies designed to fool the American public into thinking your guns cause crime. As expected, the media plays right along. Unfortunately for him, John Lott and the Crime Prevention Research Center does the real research to measure the true impact of guns on crime. But we need your help to do it. Please donate today to help John and the CPRC get the truth out. Visit crimeresearch.org, crimeresearch.org to donate. Crimeresearch.org. Thank you.
Do you have 2 minutes for a great tip concerning defensive firearms or the concealed carry lifestyle? Check out Into the Fray, a weekly video blog hosted by Kevin Michalowski, editor of Concealed Carry Magazine. Into the Fray covers every aspect of self-defense, from legal and ethical issues to the latest gear and tactics. Accurate, direct, and easy to share with all your friends, you can find every episode of Into the Fray at IntoTheFrayVideo.com. That's IntoTheFrayVideo.com.
Hi everybody, Mark Walters here. Folks, whether you carry a gun already or are even considering it, and this is very serious business, one of the most important steps that you can take is to join the nation's number one resource for the armed citizen, the United States Concealed Carry Association, the USCCA. They sponsor the show, you know who they are. Folks, now is the time to learn how to protect yourself, your family, your property, and your business with a concealed weapon, because you never know when you may need to. The USCCA is designed specifically for those of us who have chosen to take our personal defense very seriously. I've put together special membership offers for the Armed American Radio listeners, you, at jointheuscca.com. That's jointheuscca.com. Now is the time to join the USCCA and take advantage of the incredible resources available only at the USCCA. That's jointheuscca.com. These are troubling times in America, folks. Become a member today.
Picture this scenario. Two masked men break into your house. They're armed with weapons and a look of drug-fueled rage. To protect your family, you're forced to take matters into your own hands. You do what you have to. You pull the trigger. Minutes later, the police arrive and suddenly you're handcuffed and pushed into the back seat of a cop car. Pause there for a second. If this were to happen to you, would you know what to expect? Would you know exactly what to say to the police and what not to say? Would you know who to call? Every responsibly armed American needs to know the answer to those questions, because believe me, you don't want any surprises when the police arrive. Go to BeTheirProtector.com right now and get your copy of the USCCA's brand new free guide that'll reveal the 6 things you didn't know would happen when the police arrive. After a self-defense incident, knowing what to expect when the police show up can truly be the difference between freedom or a jail cell. Get your personal copy of this free guide right now at BeTheirProtector.com. That's BeTheirProtector.com.
Back to Armed American Radio's Daily Defense with Mark Walters.
The day after the monster broadcast. Hey, by the way, we're messing with some sound settings in the studio, so I hope you like it. If you notice a difference, let me know. Mark@armedamericanradio.org, mark@armedamericanradio.org. We're playing with some sound here to fatten some things up on the podcast. And we've got some levelers built in that local radio stations use. You probably won't notice it if you catch the show by podcast, but you might after today. So let me know. mark@armedamericanradio.org. If you're an audiophile, and there are a lot of you out there because I get your emails, believe me, let me know what your thoughts are. And I had, you know, a lot of comments already coming in by email on the Alexander Ruby and the traffic stop thing. For whatever reason, that fascinates a lot of people. What do I do should I get pulled over? Well, first advice is don't get pulled over. But that's not always possible sometimes. Sometimes you get pulled over. Look, if a cop follows you long enough, you're going to make a mistake and give him probable cause to pull your car over. It's that simple. You're going to cross a line. You're going to make a mistake. You're not going to signal in time. You're going to follow too close. Something's going to happen. There's a myriad of laws that he can use to grab you. It's that simple. If he wants you, he's going to get you at some point in time. But the
Andrew Branca was on the program, The Law of Self-Defense, yesterday. And he said, know the law where you are. Understand the law where you are. Know what it says. If you're carrying a firearm, it's incumbent upon you to know that, by the way. I've been all over the country. There's only a couple states I haven't been in. I've been everywhere. And I've carried a firearm in most of those states. Some of them I can't. New York, for example. Illinois. Believe it or not, I can't carry lawfully in Minnesota. Washington State. Permits are not reciprocal in either of those two states, by Georgia or Florida. Isn't that fascinating? But in most places, I've carried a firearm, and I am always aware of the law of the state that I'm in. I check it before I leave. If you've got the USCCA app, if somebody sent me an email yesterday, here's the way you look for that on iTunes, by the way, just a quick sidetrack. USCCA Concealed Carry App. That's what you look for in the iTunes store. USCCA Concealed Carry App, and it will pop up. It is not yet available for Android. It will be very, very, very soon. And if I'm giving you bad information, I'll check, but I have not seen a memo. I normally would have been sent that by the USCCA in Wisconsin, and I have not seen that yet. So if I'm wrong, I apologize in advance. But you can check that app, or you can go to handgunlaw.us. You can check Alan Corwin's site, gunlaws.com. You can pick up the firearms laws of all 50 states. It's updated continuously. And I used go-to for me for years and years and years was handgunlaw.us. Those guys, Gary Slater's been doing that site over there for years. He's going back to the old packing.org site when the internet was first born. And they keep that site up to speed with all of the laws. Is it legal to have a gun in the car without a permit? Yes. No. Do I have a responsibility to notify an officer in the state? Yes. No. It tells you everything. Where can I carry? Where can't I carry? And it's incumbent upon you to know these things. Alexander wasn't sure, so he did the right thing. Fascinating stuff. Go back and listen. Homework for today. All right, we're going to go over to a piece running on Fox News today. I know a lot of you have seen this piece already. I have it up on Armed American Radio Facebook page. I'm going to tell you in advance, before I go over the piece, it's about the Peruta case in California making it to the Supreme Court. We've talked about it here. The Supreme Court announced new cases from their last conference last Thursday that they were going to take, and the Peruta concealed carry in California is not on the list. It has not been refused to be heard. It just isn't on the list. It's on hold. It is still alive. I want to tell you that up front. But I'm afraid, unfortunately, it might be a little bit not the case. We're all hopeful, particularly with Gorsuch on the Supreme Court, that this case is heard. I'm talking about Peruta v. California. And on my Facebook page at Armed American Radio, about 100,000 of you are reading Second Amendment case Peruta v. California may be heading to Supreme Court. We want that case to go to the Supreme Court. This will fix a lot of problems, and it's a classic example of what should be or could be going to the Supreme Court. Why? Several appeals, contradictions from different courts. There are splits on this case. It is a prime case to head to SCOTUS, and we want it to go there. We feel pretty sure about this case going forward. What does it say? Well, the Peruta case, which you've heard us, I don't want to go into it. It's kind of ad nauseum, but many of you might be new listeners, so we'll just kind of give you the crib note version of this. What's at issue in this case, as the Fox piece points out accurately, quoting, at issue is the right to keep and bear arms outside the home. Heller case, Heller v. D.C., 2008. Specifically applied to situations within the home, those who have petitioned the Supreme Court to hear the case are hoping the justices will see it as a logical extension of their earlier opinions. Because this is outside the home. This is your right to concealed carry outside the home. Now, you'll remember that the Ninth Circuit recently claimed there is no constitutional right to concealed carry, but you must understand that there is no right to openly carry in California either. Yet California has a concealed carry permit system in place. Lots of people have concealed carry permits in California. It just depends on what county you're in. Ah, and therein lies the root of the Peruta case. Because a sheriff in the county can deny you a permit based on whether or not he or she believes you have good cause to exercise your Second Amendment rights, which the Supreme Court in Heller already found is an individual right. And later, subsequently, 2 years later, in 2010, in McDonald v. Chicago, applied to the states. It is against the law to openly carry a firearm in California. And the appellate court, the Ninth Circus, we'll call them the Ninth Circus because that's what they are, went a little bit too far in a ruling because it wasn't an issue in the case, but they mentioned it in the ruling in the opinion anyway, that there was no right, constitutional right to concealed carry, upheld the ability of a sheriff to tell you that he or she doesn't believe you have good cause, even though you are a law-abiding citizen simply trying to exercise your constitutional right, which is recognized in the Second Amendment, which Heller v. D.C. found to be an individual right, and see how the circle goes, that subsequently 2 years later, McDonald v. D.C. incorporated to the states. You see how this works. California's kind of left out there going, well, wait a minute, what about me? Which is exactly the way the Democrats wanted in California, because they hate you. So this case is ripe. Edward Peruta was from San Diego, lived around San Diego. He couldn't get a permit because the sheriff said, I don't think so. No, it's not good enough cause for me. You have to show cause to exercise your right to bear arms. Your fear of a potential criminal attack is not good enough for some sheriffs. Nope. Nah, not going to happen to you. If it does, you call us. You know, that whole Democrat thing. Depend on the state. Right? Well, Peruta don't want to depend on the state, nor do you. You have to depend on the state. You want to depend on me. I'm an independent, free American citizen. I don't need to rely on you, and you can't be here, pal. Can I cart you around all day? Let me push you around in a grocery cart. You tie you to the back of my car with a grocery cart. You go everywhere I go. It doesn't work that way in real life. So that's what's at issue here. This case is ripe for the Supreme Court. I spoke with Alan Gottlieb about this today, who was involved in this case from the beginning through the appellate process, and who was also involved in Heller and was also involved in McDonald. And he is hopeful. And he told me to inform you that the case is still alive. We are hopeful. There is still life to it. It just didn't come out with the decision today that they were going to take the case. We're hopeful that they will. Back right after this.
When seconds count, the police are minutes away, which means if your family's in danger, you'll become the first line of defense. Can you say with 100% confidence that you'll know what to do? What about the gun laws in your state? Do you know them? One wrong move, and you'll be the one handcuffed in the back of a squad car. Which is why 170,000 responsibly armed Americans rely on Concealed Carry Magazine for the latest on ever-changing gun laws and life-saving training drills. You'll get unbiased gun and gear reviews and read true stories from real people who carry every day. There's even a quarterly women's section with training and information designed specifically for the female shooter. This is important, which is why when you activate your subscription, you'll be entered to win one of four guns. Just go to oneoffourguns.com. That's the number one of the number four guns.com right now to start your subscription and claim your chance to win the gun of your dreams.
Folks, you know that the USCCA protects responsible gun owners if we're ever forced to use our weapons in self-defense. Recently, a USCCA member witnessed his neighbor being assaulted in his front yard. He drew his weapon to stop the threat and was arrested, even though he never fired a shot. Would you know what to say to the police and what not to say if this happened to you? Visit BeTheirProtector.com for the USCCA's free guide, The 6 Things You Didn't Know Would Happen When the Police Arrive. That's BeTheirProtector.com.
Hi, it's Mark, and I have a plea for help. Gun-hating billionaire Michael Bloomberg is up to his bag of tricks by funding studies designed to fool the American public into thinking your guns cause crime. As expected, the media plays right along. Unfortunately for him, John Lott and the Crime Prevention Research Center does the real research to measure the true impact of guns on crime. But we need your help to do it. Please donate today to help John and the CPRC get the truth out. Visit crimeresearch.org, crimeresearch.org to donate. Crimeresearch.org. Thank you.
Do you have 2 minutes for a great tip concerning defensive firearms or the concealed carry lifestyle? Check out Into the Fray, a weekly video blog hosted by Kevin Michalowski, editor of Concealed Carry Magazine. Into the Fray covers every aspect of self-defense, from legal and ethical issues to the latest gear and tactics. Accurate, direct, and easy to share with all your friends, you can find every episode of Into the Fray at IntoTheFrayVideo.com. That's IntoTheFrayVideo.com.
Hi, it's Mark, and I hope you're enjoying this week's broadcast. You know, over the last several weeks, you've heard me mentioning a website, usccaonair.com. We have some amazing sponsors here on this program, and one of them, the United States Concealed Carry Association, helped create this program. Since that time, just like Armed American Radio, the USCCA has exploded in growth to become the nation's number one resource for the responsibly armed citizen. The USCCA has also become famous for their promotions, as if you needed more incentive to join the United States Concealed Carry Association. Free guns, thousands of dollars in merchandise, and free ammunition, etc. to lucky promotion winners. You, too, can win by simply visiting the website usccaonair.com. usccaonair.com. That site is reserved for you as an Armed American Radio listener to keep you updated on their latest promotions. Now, I'll tell you about the promos on every program, but you can still check for yourself by visiting usccaonair.com. Don't miss out.
The Second Amendment Foundation has grown into what many believe to be the most important gun rights organization in America. With hundreds of thousands of active members, it is the Second Amendment Foundation defending your rights in courtrooms across the nation. Winning these battles in local jurisdictions all the way to the Supreme Court requires tireless effort and help from you. Please help the Second Amendment Foundation defend your freedoms by joining or donating today at saf.org. Join us at saf.org. Thank you.
And now your host, Mark Walters.
This is the Fox News piece. If you want to check it out, I have it on my Facebook page, Armed American Radio, facebook.com/Armed American Radio. Go check it out. It's quite cool. Simply because, again, I'm going to quote Alan Gottlieb. It might be wishful thinking, this piece, but we're hopeful. It's still alive. Let me tell you what a couple of professors had to say about this. Eugene Volokh, you've heard me quote him before on the program, professor of law at University of California at LA, UCLA, who claims that the case is primed for the Supreme Court, quoting a piece, as it deals with a basic constitutional right, and quoting him, the lower courts are split on the issue, as I just told you. That's usually what prompts a case of this magnitude anyway to be taken. And he says, or the piece says anyway, that it would be a great time for the high court to step in and settle the controversy. He says that while no one is sure, this is quoting the piece, how Gorsuch will vote, there is a, quote, sense that he's sympathetic to a broader view of the Second Amendment. Yeah, he probably is, because I don't know anyone familiar with the list of 21 judges that thought Trump could have made a better pick to fill Scalia's seat. So I want you to rest easy there. And right now I know somebody, I can hear you, somebody saying, yeah, we thought the same thing about Roberts and look what he did with Obamacare. Yeah, I hear you. I understand that. But every expert out here feels the same way. So take some comfort in that. Most law professors, regardless of their ideology, also feel the same way about Gorsuch. The left is scared of. All you need to know is why the Everytown clowns and Bloomberg went berserk and hated him. That's your answer. Now, Erwin Chemerinsky, he's the dean of law school at University of California, Irvine. I quote him, the Second Amendment isn't an absolute right. Now, any indication of where this guy leans based on that statement right there? Of course it's an absolute right, because we're talking about the right to self-defense. And it's already been found to be an individual. It's an individual right long before Heller. I had a conversation with A.W.R. Hawkins on his podcast, Bullets, with A.W.R. Hawkins. You can listen tomorrow. We talked about it. It absolutely is an individual or an absolute right. We'll go a little bit farther. Throughout British and American history, he says there's never been a right to have concealed weapons. That's not true. The right to bear arms has always been there. The Second Amendment didn't create it. It simply recognized it. So where he is parsing words or mincing words is in determination of how those arms are born. Under a coat, outside a coat. Now, let me ask you a question. Do you believe that this professor who I just quoted, then based on what he just said about concealed weapons, would be okay with constitutional carry, the law of the land across the country? Hell no, he wouldn't be. It's not addressed here. He didn't say it. But I can make a pretty educated guess that he doesn't like that either. And he wasn't thinking about that, oh, professorship, when he was telling you that there's never a right to concealed carry. So he agrees with the Ninth Circuit on the concealed carry issue, that there is no constitutional right to concealed carry. Well, okay, then. How about we just make open carry the law of the land, professor? Oh, well, no, there's no right to do that either. I mean, you know, that's where the debate lies. It's not an absolute right. You see, this is where he would go. Volokh says there's a bigger picture at issue. Just as I told you, and I'll quote again, if the state of California, which essentially bans open carry of a gun, not essentially, it does. If the state of California, which bans open carry of a gun, makes it next to impossible for a typical citizen to get a concealed carry permit, this is tantamount to banning the right to bear arms, except for a few favored people. You know, like liberals and friends of the sheriff who the sheriff likes, who he decides or she decides is okay to have a firearm. The elites. Celebrities. Even liberal celebrities. Yeah. It's okay for them because they're special. They're in the public eye. They need to be able to protect themselves. Private security, okay for me. The hell with thee, right? That's not what the Constitution says. The Constitution says the right of the people. That's you, by the way, not a militia. The militia is you, the people. It's basic elementary stuff. To keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. You have a right to concealed carry. What is concealed carry? It's the manner in which you bear arms. That's all. That's all it is. It's whether or not your holster is under your coat, under your shirt, or outside your coat for open carry, invisible, or inside and not visible. You can do both in the city. You can have your firearm in an outside the waistband holster underneath a shirt that blows open. It's now open, then it's closed because you pull it back over and it's concealed. It's all we're talking about here. And it's the liberal professor that makes a big deal out of it and wants to debate. There's no debate. It's just simply the manner in which you choose to bear arms. You have a right to bear arms. Let me give you another example. Here in the state of Georgia, this is not a concealed weapons license that I have in my pocket. It is a weapons carry permit. Therefore, because the state does not distinguish, and by the way, Georgia has a right to bear arms clause in its state constitution as well, and because it does not distinguish, just as the U.S. Constitution, Second Amendment, doesn't distinguish between open and concealed, means my weapons carry permit is both. So what is it that Chemerinsky doesn't get? Certainly the dean of the University of California, Irvine School of Law, should understand this. Right? Does he want to come here and debate my Georgia permit? Well, your permit really isn't that because you don't really have a right to concealed carry. Your state's wrong. What would he say about that? They won't ever make these comparisons with you. No. Because it makes them look hypocritical and makes them look foolish, which is exactly what I just did to him. Think about that. Such a simple comparison. I have a weapons carry permit. That means I can carry my weapon. I can carry my weapon open or I can carry it concealed because it's a carry permit. Obviously, I have a right to carry it. In California, technically, you can't do both now, can you? Unless the sheriff says it's okay. But then and only then, you can carry it concealed, but you can't carry it open. But wait a minute. You don't have a right to conceal. No, it's a privilege. The sheriff can tell you whether or not you can carry your firearm. You see how convoluted this is? It's easy to blow these people right out of the water. All you've got to do is think for just one brief second. It's really simple to do. It's not hard at all. And you would think that the dean of the University of California Irvine School of Law would understand that. May the state determine its own rule of concealed carry permits because the Second Amendment isn't an absolute right. There's never been a right to have a concealed weapon. Again, we're just mincing words. It's a matter of how you choose to carry the gun. I'll tell you how I'll carry the gun. Carry the gun any way, damn way I feel like it. If I feel like carrying it open one day, I will. If I want to conceal it one day, I will. Maybe it depends on what the temperature's like outside. Maybe it depends on what I'm wearing. Maybe it's none of his business because I'm a free American and I have a right to bear arms. Maybe he should figure that out. But it sure is fun to talk about. Remember, my mom said this years ago. Can you really talk about that for an hour every week? Oh, heck yeah, we can. I wish I had another hour to keep it going with you. Armed American Radio's Daily Defense will continue tomorrow. Make sure to head over to USCCAOnAir.com, by the way. How much is your peace of mind worth? Carry on, carry off, and carry absolutely everywhere. Never leave your cave without your club.
The Second Amendment Foundation has grown into what many believe to be the most important gun rights organization in America. With hundreds of thousands of active members, it is the Second Amendment Foundation defending your rights in courtrooms across the nation. Winning these battles in local jurisdictions all the way to the Supreme Court requires tireless effort and help from you. Please help the Second Amendment Foundation defend your freedoms by joining or donating today at saf.org. Join us at saf.org. Thank you.
Hey, what's up? It's AAR Shanto here. Every day you hear the passion that we have for freedoms here in America. I also have other passions, and every week you can check out what that passion is. I've started a new web series. Yes, believe it or not, with all the other things that I have going on, I went and did it. I started a web series, and I think you're going to like it. If you want to see one of my hobbies, all you got to do is check out IRFnews.com. That's IRFnews.com.
When seconds count, the police are minutes away, which means if your family's in danger, you'll become the first line of defense. Can you say with 100% confidence that you'll know what to do? What about the gun laws in your state? Do you know them? One wrong move, and you'll be the one handcuffed in the back of a squad car. Which is why 170,000 responsibly armed Americans rely on Concealed Carry Magazine for the latest on ever-changing gun laws and life-saving training drills. You'll get unbiased gun and gear reviews and read true stories from real people who carry every day. There's even a quarterly women's section with training and information designed specifically for the female shooter. This is important, which is why when you activate your subscription, you'll be entered to win one of four guns. Just go to oneoffourguns.com. That's the number one of the number four guns.com right now to start your subscription and claim your chance to win the gun of your dreams.